Tonight, we're going to go ahead and get started. Let's see, the council meeting February 6, 2018, starting at 7 p.m. located here at the Community Recreation Center. We are going to go ahead and start with a pledge given by Scout Jackson Rice and then the invocation given by Councilmember Bailey. Jackson, come on up.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Jackson, thank you very much.
Bring more chairs in.
Our beloved Father in heaven, we give thanks to this day that would bless us with this opportunity to communicate and discuss the labors of the city of Cedar Hills. We ask you to please bless us with thy spirit. And these things we ask and pray for in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 Let's see, I just need an approval of the agenda tonight.
I move that we approve tonight's.
All right, do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, we'll go ahead and move on to the public comment portion of the meeting. It looks like we have one person who has signed up. Mr. Kelly can go ahead and come up to the microphone. You could just start by listing your name and your address, and then you will have 3 minutes.
My name is Reed Kelly. I live at 99.7 North Chester Drive. I've lived there 6.5 years. I moved here from Lancaster, Arizona, to the mountain type area, 70,000 plus feet high. And we have a lot of elevation problems there, as I hope you probably have some here. The why I'm here today is because of my water pressure on my home. In the last 6.5 years, I've replaced 3 water meters, costing me a little over $2,000. I've replaced 3 pressure valves to maintain a low pressure on the water. We find that the water pressure is consistently almost double in our area of what it normally should be. We had a water heater go out on us just a short time ago. The plumber that came and talked to us said that this is a fairly common thing in through that area. One of the problems I can probably visualize is the fact that we're in the lower elevation and you still have to take care of the people up on the high elevation. And our pressure has been consistently around 160 and common. Pressure is just about everything. One of my problems is that my wife and I came to Utah, retired, we're living on a small income, a set income, and it's kind of hard on our budget when we have to put out that much money for water heaters and pressure valves. Flagstaff, I had quite a bit of familiarity with all of the pressures all through the city. I was in real estate where I came in contact with houses everywhere in the city. And never was pressure ever an issue. Pressure valves were unheard of. Yet, it's a common thing here. They tell me that a pressure valve won't last more than about 2 years on this system. A heater has a hard time lasting as long as 5 or 6 or 8 years. I left the heater in the home that I moved out of. It was over 35 years old. I think it'll still go another 35. And to come here and have a brand new water heater that I bought here go out in less than 5 years is unheard of. I just don't think it's fair and right that I have to put up with such a thing. older people trying to get by and be what we should be, to justify what we have experienced here. My plumber has written a letter verifying that he did come and service our heater, installed it, and he put pressure valves on, and we can take the photos of that pressure valve daily. Consistently, it has been this high pressure.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. Sorry, your 3-minute time period is up. Can I have you write your phone number on here? And then, Mr. Goodwin, can we have some more, Mr. Kelly?
Yeah.
Could we take a copy of the letter from your plumber as well?
Is it pen?
Can we get a copy of the letter from your plumber as well? And then
I'll get that.
Okay, and then we'll have someone from the city follow up with you. Thank you for coming tonight.
I just want to let you know that I live in that same pressure zone, and I'm aware of that situation. I had to replace my pressure. I've had to replace my pressure valve water meters.
I
can tell you that I have had similar situations. I live very near to where you live.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. Is there anyone else that came tonight that wanted to make public comment that was not able to sign up? Okay, if not, we'll go ahead and close the public comment portion of the meeting, and we will move on to reports and presentations, starting with item number 4, which is introduction of Lone Peak Public Safety District Chief Thompson. Chief Thompson, come on up.
Thank you for the opportunity to meet with you tonight and give a little brief introduction about myself and what we've been doing the past month. So I had a chance to meet several of you and actually work with Ben on a regular basis, so I look forward to meeting the rest of you and becoming more acquainted. Been in the fire service for about 20 years. Some of that has been volunteer experience, some have been as a paid call department member, and then for the last 10 years serving with South Jordan Fire Department for the last year and a half as a deputy chief over operations. So I'm grateful for the opportunity to come to Lone Peak Fire District and to have an opportunity to start, I guess, a new chapter in my career, and in doing so provide benefits to the city and city Cedar Hills, Alpine, and Highland. Over the past month or so, I've had the opportunity to get familiar with the area and start getting my feet wet on some of the issues that surround the district, and had an opportunity to kind of put a focus together on some of the items that she worked on and come up with some priorities. I'll share a couple of those with you tonight. First off is opportunity to review our department policies and procedures and have an opportunity to look at how that affects our staff members and how we can develop consistent policies and procedures for them. Second would be to address some of our regulatory compliance issues. As the fire service continues to evolve, there are regulations and rules, whether it be OSHA related or in other areas, that affect what we do and how we respond. So we have some deficiencies there, and we'll be working on putting those items, I guess, at the forefront, so we can make sure we keep our folks safe, both our staff members and also the people that we serve in the three communities. And then lastly would be to develop and maintain the adequate and appropriate staffing levels and balance that with all of the service delivery that I think the public requests and has in mind there. That will in large part be coordinated with the board and determine what we deem that appropriate to be, and then tweak it as needed based on call volume, based on activities that we provide, and other areas of focus for the district. Lastly, I just share my mission or vision for the department, and that is, I believe, first and foremost, the customer comes first. And our goal as a staff and as a department is to astonish the customer. So whether that's out taking care of individuals on an emergency call or through a non-emergency events, public outreach in their areas, or to astonish them and take care of their needs and go a little bit above and beyond just the ordinary. Grateful for the opportunity to be here, and if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer those.
Thank you. Council, any questions for Chief Thompson?
I just want to reiterate this. We mentioned a little bit about this during our board meeting, but at least my position on the council, even though we did give notice that we were exploring our options, we were very satisfied with the services that you provide us. Doesn't mean we're going to leave. We've got a lot of discussion the next year and a half before we continue.
Excited for the opportunity to work together and figure out how to keep this.
Any other questions, Council? All right. Thank you, Chief Thompson, for coming on.
Thank you. I have an appointment with some scouts to be first aid tonight, so I'll excuse
you. All right, that's fine. Thank you. Moving on to item number 5, a presentation from Horrocks Engineering regarding the Mill Ditch Piping Project.
Mayor and Council, thank you for the chance to come and present here. My name is John Sheese. I'm representing Pleasant Grove City, and I work for Horrocks Engineers. Greg Woodcox from Pleasant Grove City, the water superintendent, is here with me. And I'm here to introduce a project that the Pleasant Grove Irrigation Company of Pleasant Grove City is contemplating that is within the boundary of Cedar Hills. We look up on the mountain and look at all the snow that we're getting this year. We're all concerned about water and how much there is and trying to conserve and so forth. Over the past 10 to 15 years, we've really noticed a lot of water loss in a ditch for the irrigation company, a ditch that's runs from the American Fork River down off the bluff here. Down, it's called the Mill Ditch, right through on the edge of the golf course. And this ditch loses probably 1,000 acre feet of water every year. And Pleasant Grove City and the irrigation company would like to pipe that ditch and to save that water and better use of it. And what they have done is they applied for a grant from the National Resource Conservation Service, NRCS. They've been funded to have a study, to study the piping of this ditch and to gain public input, to analyze all the different options and arguments and possible impacts to natural resources and to other people. And you'll see the piece of paper that I handed out earlier, or had handed out. This is a map and a notice for a public meeting. Chandler Goodman has invited us here, and he's graciously offered this building for us to have a public scoping meeting for the study. And that meeting would be held next week on the 13th from 5:30 to 7:30. And what we'll be doing in that meeting is just, it won't be a presentation, we'll have some boards, we'll have some description, we'll have some people to answer questions. Anybody can come. Look at the alignment, look at the project, give us any comments or feedback that you may have on what impacts there may be to the golf course, the trees, whatever. And we will take all of that information and input that into a study. And we'll try in that study to determine where is the best place to accomplish our goal here of saving all that water and piping the ditch. What should we do? So that is the goal of our study. This particular, I would add one thing to this study. This particular flyer that we handed or that we provided for your city newsletter and your website, right after this, the NRCS asked us to include the big rear structure at the mouth of the Grand Fork Canyon, the big diversion structure. That's well over 100 years old, and they would like to look at that and evaluate that as well in this process. And so it wasn't included in this particular handout, but it is included in the official notice requesting input from the public. So with that, we would just encourage you all, any of the public as well, to come and comment at the meeting. You can have written comments at the meeting. You can send comments in, email, mail, phone, whatever. All those comments will be recorded and used to develop the study. So with that, if you have any questions about what we're doing, I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have. Sir?
You got a good question.
Go ahead, Councilor Gittes.
Okay, so I'll try to attend the meeting because I would like input from our golf course people as well. I can gather some information. I don't know, maybe they're going to be there as well. But initially, hole number 10, where that ditch goes right in front of, it's kind of a water feature of that hole. I mean, it's a feature of that hole, and the water runs most of the year round through it. And maybe there's a way to just open it up during that small area, line it or something, and keep it open. That's, from a golf perspective, that's all I would like to see.
Very good. I'll take note of that, but to give comments at that meeting would be very, very helpful on that as well. So, well, there's no decision on actually how it's going to happen, where it's going to go, and all this stuff. These are comments that we'll incorporate into the study and future design.
And just to be clear, so hearing early stuff about this, there was talk that it was going to go back to many houses, then down through Heritage and Harvest. This is the scope right here. This map is just the scope of what we're looking at. There's nothing more than being enclosed, is that right?
Okay. The map that you see shows two different colors of line. One is a pink color, purple color, and a blue color. The purple color is phase one, and the second one is a phase two. This particular project and this particular study focuses on these two phases.
Okay.
Now, at some point in the future, it may continue on down through town. I don't know.
Oh, that's not part of the...
But that's not part of this.
Okay. I just want to make sure that was clear.
That's correct. That's a good point, too, because I want to bring out that there is you have a very nice water feature that runs down through town past the school.
Forest Creek Park.
Very beautiful amenity. That particular ditch is not anticipated to be piped. If you go up and look at it, the upper phase one is a single open ditch through the golf course, next to the golf course. At the end of phase one, it actually splits into two facilities. The upper one is the concrete lined ditch that runs back of houses, back of the Kilcarney area.
Yeah.
And then there is another ditch to the west that's an open, it looks more like a creek, and that's your water feature. And we're only talking about the concrete lined ditch portion. The irrigation company and the city call that the creek, the Mill Creek, they call that the overflow ditch. And so whenever they have more water than they can handle in a concrete line channel, they run it down the overflow ditch. Okay? And that is, we have no intention of doing anything with the overflow ditch.
Thank you.
So, let me understand just a little bit, but the weir that you've added to this, that's that old structure just right there?
Right in American Fork River.
Yeah.
It's over 100 years old and it needs some upgrades.
If I can just add a couple things. We went and met with Pleasant Grove and the engineers about this project, and there are a number of concerns that the whole thing came up, but also how Pond 10 feeds back into the ditch will need to be addressed as well. In addition to this, American Fork is working on a water line that runs down the canyon and will eventually comes right under our fairway in our golf course. And we're working with them on relocating that pipe as part in conjunction with this project, hopefully to edit in a way that does not disturb golf.
Who's working right now then? It's all dug up.
Who's working on it?
That's public works.
It's just, okay. Yeah, actually, they're dredging the pond there to increase the capacity.
We are?
Yeah. And then, are you working with Highland on the last third of phase one? The last about third of the mill ditch there of phase one is actually in Highland.
We have contacted them, but we haven't been meeting any presentations like this in Highland.
Okay.
I should have mentioned on the American Fork issue, American Fork does have that water line that runs right through the middle of the pond. So, I mean, it is smack in the middle. And they need to replace that water line probably next spring of 2019. And they are actually not part of this study because the money for that project is not federal money at this point. But I have recommended that Pleasant Grove and American Fork work together, and whatever alignment is best, both of those pipes go down the same way. And rather than American Fork coming through and trying to dig through the middle of the golf course, which they really don't want to do either, we're hoping to find an alignment that can be shared with these two facilities.
That would be great. We would appreciate that as well. Any other questions from the council? All right, thank you so much for being here tonight. Council, we will move on to the consent agenda, which is the actually minutes from the November 21st, 2017 work session and council meeting, and the December 5th, 2017 city council meeting. So I have a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I move that we accept the consent agenda.
All right, I have a motion from Councilmember Bailey. Do I have a second? Second from Councilmember Anderson. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Moving on to city reports, item number 7, we'll start with Mr. Goodwin.
Yep. Bear with me, I have a few things. First of all, something we wanted you to be aware of, Public Works is going to move forward with the Bay Hill Culinary Water Booster Upgrade Project. This project consists of the removal and replacement of pipe and fittings in the booster building, in the booster building with flow meter addition. The pipe sizes are between 6 inches and 8 inches with approximately 8 small sections. The project will take about 6 hours from water shutoff to water restoration, and this project is scheduled to start Tuesday, February 13th at 1 a.m. and be completed by 7 a.m. The reason they're doing that in the middle of the night is that the water shutoff will affect Lakeshore Drive residents, so city offices, and possibly the south end of Ironwood Drive there as it comes off of Canyon Road. February 13th. We anticipate that there will be very low pressure in that area during the time. We will be sending out door notices on Thursday the 8th to those affected by the shutoff, and then again on Monday the 12th so that they're aware, and we'll be available for any questions that they may have. Additionally, we will have both culinary tanks full prior to that work commencing. However, this does involve work on the only water line providing service to the upper culinary zone, so it's about half the city. So during this time of year, the tank storage should give us about 48 hours to get this done. The reason we're doing this is that if we do it in a planned manner and we shut down the system and replace this booster, we are controlling when that window of shutdown is. But if it happens to be an emergency, we could have a major problem. So we're trying to get ahead of this one. Second, the council budget retreat is Saturday, February 10th. And that's from 9 to 3 at the Highland Fire Station, so please come prepared to discuss goals for the upcoming budget year and also priorities into the next fiscal year. Golf received the new lithium-ion golf carts. They're really awesome. You should go take them for a ride. And pending the weather, they are open, so if you want to go check out the course. The state of the city from 2017 has been released and is updated onto the website, so that's available. We'll be sending that out to the residents as well next week. And then the Emergency Preparedness Management Expo, which we've been holding for about 5 or 6 years now, will be March 12th here in this room, and we will have vendors and booths from some of the local businesses, and they'll be offering some goodies, so it'll be a fun family event. We encourage everyone to come, so look for those details when they're available.
Thank you. Councilmember Gittes.
Do you want to report on that? Okay.
Go for it.
So we had a Long Beach Public Safety meeting, and we've got most of the issues. We're looking at changing at the mayor's suggestion to make that. It's an early morning meeting, so the people, I mean, there's a few people that attend, but if mayor raises a suggestion, it's going to be moved to an evening now, I think Thursday evening or Wednesday evening.
Thursday.
And other than that, we welcome the new chief. Things that are going to happen next.
Thank you, Councilmember Miller.
I have nothing to report.
Okay. Just a few things that I have on my list. I did attend the MAG meeting last week. They did discuss the transportation projects that have been funded up through 2021, so there will not be any new MAG money available for projects until after that time. So if we're going to look for additional funding for Canyon Road in conjunction with the county, that's going to be the time to do it. I was added to the Joint Policy Advisory Committee that meets quarterly, and I will report on that. We have our first meeting coming up this month. And then Legislative Policy Committee, Councilmember Anderson, Mr. Goodwin, and I sit on that particular committee with Utah League of Cities and Towns. They've been meeting weekly during the legislative session. A few of the things that have come up that we are following, a big one is affordable housing, and you guys all have an update on that, where the legislature is considering issuing a financial penalty to cities that do not have adequate low-income housing in their cities. We do not have any low-income housing, so that would impact our community. They're also pushing for cities to complete their moderate-income housing plan, which Mr. Goodwin is working on with staff, and we should have that shortly. Another bill that we've been watching is House Bill 135, which relates to watershed protection programs. As you know, we passed one last month where the state right now allows cities to implement ordinances to protect their watershed resources. And our watershed resources are American Fort Canyon. This bill is being pushed forward by Representative Noel, would eliminate the authority that cities have to protect their watershed resources. So Utah League of Cities and Towns has taken an opposed stance to that. Cities are pushing back against that because we are obligated, of course, to provide clean and safe drinking water to our community, and we cannot do that if we cannot protect our watershed resources. So we will watch that one. Another bill that's come up is the transportation amendments, which include things such as changing the UTA governance structure from a 16-member part-time panel to a 3-member commission with a 9-member advisory panel that would give them their direction and their guidance. Another big one that's coming out of that particular bill, I think you guys are all familiar with Prop 1 that failed in Utah County in 2015. That allows counties to assess an additional sales tax for transportation projects. It did go on a ballot in 17 counties in Utah. It was passed in 10 of those counties and failed in 7, Utah County being one of those that has failed. And this bill that is before the legislature now states that counties will have until the year 2022 to implement that tax, and if they do not, the state will impose it and the state will keep all of the revenues. Where right now, if the county implements the tax, it is split 40% to cities, 40% to UTA, and 20% to counties. It's looking like that is going to pass at the state legislative session, and if it does, as a county, we have a call to make whether we want to implement that tax, whether we want to encourage our commissioners to implement that tax, or let the state do it. And then the last thing that came out this week was a proposition or a bill that an oversight committee be created at the legislature. It would consist of about 8 members of the state legislatures that would be able to look at decisions that were made at local level, whether that be city council decisions, school community council decisions, school board decisions, and determine whether those decisions were made in the best interest of the communities which they serve. There's been pushback from cities and counties and school districts, et cetera, who feel like there's already a process in place. There's need to be another level of government monitoring and changing local level decisions. And so that did not make it out of committee, but that's going to be coming back again this legislative session. So we'll follow up with you guys on that as well. And that's all I have for now. Councilmember Anderson.
That's a lot. Thank you, Mayor. As I sit on those two boards, I've got
thank you, Councilmember Ellsworth.
Yeah, we had a meeting last week with the Family Festival Committee. Most of the same people have come back and volunteered. A couple things that they're thinking of is going to be the legal June 4th. There aren't any carnival companies available at the time, so we're looking at fun activities such as inflatables, climbing walls, other things like that. That's all still very much in progress. And then they are also looking for sponsors and a lot more volunteers. We had the carnival company, they staffed the carnival, and since we don't have that, we'll see more volunteers.
Thank you, Councilmember Rivera. All right, thank you. So we'll go ahead and move on to our scheduled items. The first one, item number 9, which is a review action on authorizing the mayor to sign a contract for landscaping and grounds maintenance. Mr. Goodwin is presenting.
All right, so this is a holdover from our last meeting since we have come to jury. As you know, we have been with Wilkinson's Outdoor Maintenance for the last 15 years, and they've done a wonderful job. But the contract ended, and so we are here, and we will put the bid out to RFP. And we had 6 firms respond, and staff narrowed those 6 bids, and staff narrowed them down to 2, which we felt were the top 2, for a variety of reasons, qualifications and pricing. So what we have here are the top 2 bids. It's Wilkinson's Outdoor Maintenance and Intermountain Planning. So we have representatives from both entities here. So they're here to answer questions. And something to keep in mind in this discussion, last time when we talked a lot about how this relates to trees in the city. And this really isn't about trees, it's about grounds. Anything that the city does one way or another, whomever you choose to go with on the grounds maintenance, we're going to have to look at trees in our parks and what our tree asset management plan will be, whether that's a replacement plan or a maintenance plan. Whatever that is, we will have to address that as an addition or an add-on to a contract or a separate contract or so. So that's something that please keep in mind. Nonetheless, both firms are, I feel, very highly qualified. We know the quality of work that Wilkinson's Outdoor Maintenance performs in doing some checks on references for the Intermountain Planning's group. They had amazing references. So I think as a staff, we're comfortable with any direction the city council provides. But you've had a number of weeks to look at these RFPs. Are there any questions that staff can answer at this time? Okay. Are there any answers or any questions that you may have for representatives from either group?
So, Council, at the last meeting, we had 3 council members in attendance. We had representatives from both maintenance companies give a short presentation. Would you like us to repeat that for those who aren't here? Would you have any questions? What would be easiest?
Was it voted on last month?
Yes, and it was a 2-1 vote, so without a majority, a 3-member vote, it could not pass.
I feel like the vote on that night.
Yeah, okay. Sure. Or the Reader's Digest version.
Sure. So we have Mr. Wilkinson. Do you want to come up first?
Chris Wilkinson, Wilkinson Outdoor Maintenance. And a special thanks, being able to represent the city. Probably one of the most obvious faces of the city is the city parks. And come to get to know your citizens. And that's either over the fence or running down the path. Very grateful for the opportunity to be involved in the city. We've been in business, I think you probably had a chance to look at some of that, for quite a few years. Our specialty is cities. We take care of Washington Terrace City up in the Ogden area. And we've been involved with them for about 28 years. And with you for the 15 years. And I explained in that, in our forum, how we come to into Cedar Hills. And I think our discussion last week, as Chandler mentioned, has a lot to do with the trees. And as I left the meeting, I wondered, we didn't talk much about the sprinkling system, which is a critical part of the maintenance that goes on here in the city. Matter of fact, it's the underground part that in general doesn't get seen, but is really a complicated part of the city. We touched just briefly, last year we started the new weather track clocks, which has made it possible for either one of the representatives from the city to be able to shut down the clocks. That seems to be an issue that's come up over the years, is the inability to shut down the system if it's rain time, really critical for, I would say, the city space. I'm asking everybody else to turn off their clocks, and ours are running. I think last year was pretty successful in that. I look at it just being able to control that. So I think that will be a great asset for us. Is there any other questions that you might have for me?
No, I read the proposal, and so I appreciate this area. But I didn't care the plan for treatment of us with the permit was up. I don't remember it. And it was a year.
Okay. This is a, I think the way I did the meeting last time, the question is that I think it would be important for us to take a look at the trees. There's, I don't know, it was a number at one time, 800, but a lot of trees, okay, in the city. And over the years, I've seen some of these mature and die. Some of the trees that aren't really a longevity tree is the cottonwood trees. We've got a couple of them there in Heritage Park that's it's getting close. And so I think it would be neat if we had a group that would consider the new trees and what type of new trees get put in. One of the things that we've had in the past is this Eagle Scouts would use it as a project with okay success. I mean, it's free and it's volunteer and that's awesome. And so we do get some of the makeup, but that seems to have a tendency to get broken down. My, again, push has always been, let's put in big trees, 2-inch caliber at least, so that they can take a kid hanging on it. So as far as the pruning goes, if you come into the city, as you know, I like to keep the trees up out of the street, and that's been something that we've really promoted over the years is trimming, which I call the lower branches. We don't do any of the tree climbing and tree trimming in the top, but maintaining that view, mostly so trucks and stuff are being able to clear is what we manage.
Thank you. Any other questions? All right, thank you. The representative from Clear Mountain.
Eli Simmons from Intermountain Plantings. Intermountain Plantings has been in business since 1994. Landscape maintenance and installation company. We have been building some of the most complex, large landscape projects in Utah. We maintain a wide variety from two blocks of downtown Salt Lake City, the City Creek Center, all the way to Riverton City Parks, about 248 chapels. We have a wide variety of different types of landscape maintenance contracts. We also have a pretty deep footing in arboriculture. We helped Riverton City build their forestry program. Work side by side with their parks managers. As I said, been in business since 1994. Feel like we can handle any kind of landscape project that's thrown at us. Do you guys have any questions for me?
I think last time we had a discussion about the fertilizing, and we want to just explain what you told us.
We did. I think we sent a clarification earlier because we wanted your guess' spec is it's a good spec. It doesn't spec a certain number of applications. So in our proposal, we gave a one number. That's not meant to be one application of fertilizer. That's an application of fertilizer for what the landscape needs, whether that's one app or five apps. We have a wide variety of approaches. We have a lot of discussion with our vendors to certain products where you could put down one application that will feed throughout the season with a controlled release product, different ones with humates. So I think we could tailor make a program for any park, any need that the landscape has.
Additional questions?
All right, thank you. Anything else you want to add, Mr. Greenwood? Probably just that some of you may know that one of our long-term public works employees, D.D. Howard, has been with the city for 10 plus years, is taking a new position in another city. We should
He's been our point on staff working with Chris, and so we're going to lose a lot of institutional knowledge about our irrigation system as it currently sits, just by virtue of having Dean on with the city. So there's going to be a learning curve ourselves how we work with this. My one concern is the irrigation system, and Chris does know the irrigation system because he hasn't been able to put it in. That's not to say I'm taking anything away from Irrigation Plans. I think they figured out really fast, but that is a concern of city staff.
Any additional thoughts, questions? If not, I will take a motion.
So I'd like to make a motion. First off, I want to thank both of you for your proposals, and I like the way it was scored by our staff, and both of you guys scored very, very highly, so it's a tough decision. I just feel like with losing D, not that that was a big deal, but I do know it will be a big issue, kind of a transition, that I think our staff doesn't really have that much free time to go out and, you know, it will be a big learning curve. So I would make a motion that everything just went dead. I make a motion that we approve the award of the landscaping and grounds maintenance contract to Wilkinson Outdoors in the amount of $148,000. Sorry. What's the amount? $148,900. And subject to final negotiation with the city officials.
All right, thank you. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, the motion is unanimous. Thank you very much. Congratulations, Mr. Wilkinson. We'll move on to item number 10, which is a review action on a resolution making assignments to members of the City Council, staff, and residents to certain boards, committees, and entities. And Mr. Goodwin is presenting.
As a side note to that, the city will need to really evaluate our trees. Currently, this was said last meeting, but I want the council members that were not here last meeting to hear this. Currently, what we're doing is we're replacing trees as they die, and we're ripping them out, or not replacing them. There's no plan to replace them, but so every time you're ripping a tree out, you're ripping out an asset. If you think about our parks, we have assets in the park, it's shaded areas. So as we've taken out aged trees, we're not replacing them, there's not a plan in place to replace those. So that's something I think that would be great to hire an arborist for and possibly put out an RFP and talk to somebody about what it would cost to put together a tree asset management plan.
Is that something you want to maybe put on the next agenda for the Parks and Trails Committee?
Yeah, we can talk to them about that.
That'd be great.
Okay, so this item is an assignment of a city staff member to the Animal Shelter Board. Katie Page, she's been serving on the Animal Shelter Board for the last year. And when we did this, this is really one of the first items we do every new year. She had actually said that she's leaving the city, but she's agreed to stay. And so we're going to put her back on the Animal Shelter Board. So she's willing to serve, and she's great in that capacity. So any questions will be on this board.
If there are no questions, I will take a motion.
All right, I'll make the motion to approve resolution number 2018-02-06A, resolution assigning members of the City Council staff and residents to the city of Cedarville to give up to certain boards and entities.
Thank you. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
All right, this is a roll call vote. Councilmember Bailey?
Aye.
Councilmember Ellsworth?
Aye.
Councilmember Anderson?
Aye.
Councilmember Miller?
Aye.
Councilmember Geddes?
Aye.
The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. Move on to our final.
The only thing is that it says per the attached.
Was there no attachment?
There's no attachment.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's the holdover from the tenure amendment.
I thought it would be seen it once before, but it wasn't.
No, that's my bad. I apologize.
Moving on to item number 11, which is a review action on a resolution relating to restrictions on the purchase or construction of public buildings. Mr. Goodwin.
Yes, we spoke about this ordinance or resolution. This one is a resolution. It's sometimes referred to as an ordinance, but it's actually a resolution. It's ordinance 122-2013A. This one was passed, so it's been 5 years. What it does is it limits the purchase or construction of a public building to $400,000. If the cost of the building exceeds $400,000, then the voting majority of registered Cedarville's residents must elect to approve the project construction. But we're not a city that builds many buildings, but when we do, we'd like to have, basically what we're getting at is that this ordinance, this resolution that was passed 5 years ago has really handcuffed the city. And I don't know that it's necessary to fully repeal it, but I do feel like it's necessary to modify it in a way that adjusts that $400,000 number so that it's pegged to CPI, so that it, as inflation goes up, as the cost of building goes up, so does this threshold that we can meet. So we have a draft ordinance that is in there.
Resolution.
But what we're doing is, in the second whereas, we're saying the city council shall not cause any public building to be constructed or purchased costing in excess of $400,000, excluding the cost of land acquisition and development. This is meant to eliminate the costs that are associated with any project that are, it wouldn't include the acquisition of the land, the development of the land, utility work outside the building, engineering and design. So then the second change that we were proposing was that whereas the amount of $400,000 shall be, and as I was looking at this, I wanted to clarify this further, shall be adjusted for inflation from the date of original adoption of January 2013 per the Consumer Price Index as produced by the United States Department of Labor monthly statistics. So you remember we recently just did the golf maintenance building and we had this $400,000 limit in place, and the bids came back at $384,000, so we were under that threshold. But as with any project, there were hiccups and there changes and there change orders, and the first change order was a sprinkling system that needed to be installed in the building. That cost $12,000, so all of a sudden now we're $396,000. You know, and so we're kind of sweating bullets on staff. We know that we cannot cross over this $400,000 threshold. We didn't, but we had to make a lot of compromises. Should that building have been built when this ordinance or this resolution had been pegged to CPI, that would have given us $428,000 to work with the breaking room. So I don't feel like what we're asking for is too egregious. Back in many state codes, when they're setting a dollar threshold, they peg it to CPI as well. It's very common in practice. What questions can I answer?
That was going to be my only question, is what if they're going to peg it back, and you answered it. So that would need to be
a change. The resolution is presented.
Any other questions or feedback from the council?
I have one question about making sure this associated with splitting the cost of the existing building from an addition.
Yes, so it would not be combined with old projects. So, for example, this building is originally built in Canada. We found that the building was too small for the second to walk into it, and we needed to do an addition. That addition is a separate project from the original project. So let's say we had to do another addition, that would be a separate line item from the original two. So it'd be its own entity, each project, each phase.
Additional questions? If not, I will take a motion.
I move that we approve resolution 2-6-2018.
A.
B.
B.
B. Resolution declaring the city of Cedar Hills shall require approval of the voting majority of registered Cedar Hills residents at a duly called election to construct or purchase public buildings in excess of $400,000 and excluding cost of land acquisition and development. And development subject to the following change, and we'll change that. We'll peg the CPI or Consumer Price Index from the day of the last
January
of 2015.
All right, thank you. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second
from my Councilmember Miller. So this is a roll call vote. Councilmember Guinness?
Aye.
Councilmember Miller?
Aye.
Councilmember Anderson?
Aye.
Councilmember Ellsworth?
Aye.
Councilmember Bailey?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much. We are done. So if I can have a motion to adjourn.
When will we adjourn?
Motion from Councilmember Bailey, is there a second? Second from Councilmember Anderson, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, thank you very much.